Well, 2021. Excited? Yeah. Here we go. But the thing that we know is true is the same truths that were present in 2020 are still true in 2021, which is this: God is in control. God is guiding history for his glory. And so my question to us as a church, my question to us as families within this church is this: are you and your family going to be a part of God's work this year? I remember when I was 19 years old, I went through a Bible study back in the early 90s, and it was called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And a couple of quotes that have stuck with me for 28 years since I went through that, and I think about them often, and I kind of put them together here, which is this. He says this: watch to see where God is working and join him in his work. The truth is that God can do anything he pleases through an ordinary person who is fully dedicated to him. That has stuck with me for years. Sometimes we're selfish and we're like, well, I'm doing the work of the Lord. It's, you know, God's doing the work. He's the one guiding history. Are we going to go over and join him where he's already working? 2021, New Year's, we make New Year's resolutions. We set goals. What is the vision for you and your family? Is your ultimate vision to know him, to make him known, to see where God is working and join him, guiding your family to join him in his work? Husbands, are you ready to spiritually lead your family, to point them to Christ, to keep them connected to the body of Christ? I think 2020, we talked about this, we're probably going to continue talking about this. 2020 brought a lot of things to the surface in our lives. It brought some things up to that we had to deal with. It brought some things in our marriages, in our families, in our churches, and I hope that it's begun to reshape some of our visions as believers to remind us what is ultimately and eternally important. I know a lot of churches, it was really popular for a lot of years, especially when we were planting this church, and it was one of those things, and at the beginning of a year, the pastor would give kind of like a vision 20, whatever, a vision 2006, a vision, and get everybody pumped up and excited for the year, and here's what we're going to do as a church, here's what activities we're going to do, and we're going to go here, and we're going to go there, and we're going to do all this stuff. And here's the thing. I don't have an East Point Church vision. I mean, we have a purpose statement, which is to know him and make him known. But here's my challenge to us. If families, if believing families would have the vision to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you know how much that would change the church? Do you know how that would shape the direction and the purpose of God's church? If families said, you know what? I'm going to let that phrase shape every decision that we make as a family. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's going to affect the decisions we make about school and what we're doing with our activities. It's going to affect the way that we have our deal with our the time that we have and the things that we do and what we spend money on. If we said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, that's going to change the way the church family functions. It's going to purpose and focus our eyes on what we're called to do as the body of Christ. I'm excited to see what God does within the families and how that affects the spiritual family, the body of Christ. We are a family, brothers and sisters. So, that's been on my mind, so it's not surprising that we'd get to jump back into Colossians today. We've been away from Colossians for a few weeks through the Christmas season, the Advent season. And so where we left off, guess what? It's not surprising that we jump back in and we look at the biblical family. That's where we left off, and here we go, 2021. We get to look at what a biblical family is. We get to be encouraged by God's word on how we can find fulfillment in our families. if they are centered on Christ. Open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, 18 and 19. We're going to be in two verses this morning. We're going to be looking at biblical husbands and wives, what that looks like. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to read that. We're going to pray. We're going to jump into this. This is what it says. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the love that you poured out on us by sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice that Christ has made for us, so that for all who believe on his name will be saved. Thank you that you are in control. Thank you as we move into this new year, we can trust that you're in control, that you're still in control, you're still sitting at the right hand of the Father, you're on your throne, you are guiding history, that we can trust you, we can pray, your will be done, and we can trust that. Thank you for your word, thank you for the conviction and the encouragement, the peace that it brings to those who know you. I pray if there's anyone here, anyone listening online that is being called, that know that they need to trust you as their Savior, that you would save them, that you would call many more to be saved. I pray for this church that we would center and focus our eyes on you, that we in our families would say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That would affect every area of our life as people, as believers, as families, and then as we come together as the church, as the body of Christ. God, thank you for your commands. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for how you set things up. As we look at the biblical family over the next couple of weeks, Lord, help us to be excited and encouraged and challenged and convicted in areas that we so that we can center our lives on your plan, on your ways, because it's in that that we find true fulfillment. Lord, help us to see that this morning. God, we give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So let's think about what we've learned so far in the book of Colossians, what we've seen in Scripture, which is this: Christ is the fullness of everything. We see the fullness of Christ, who created and sustains the entire universe by his power. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he holds all things together? Okay, so try to imagine the scope of that. Think about holding the entire universe together. If Christ can do that, do you think he can bring fulfillment and fullness to your family, to your marriage? Yeah, I mean, if he's the God of the universe, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's all these things, and in him is the fullness. Then don't you think that as believers, as his children, that we too can find that same fullness in our families, in our marriages, in our homes? And this is what Paul is talking about as he moves into this next section. In Christ, we can find fulfillment in everything, every aspect of our life, including our homes. And I think that's pretty awesome news. But what we've got to understand is that the only way that we truly can find that fulfillment, and we're going to be talking to children, we're talking to husbands, to wives, to the family unit, the only way that we can really have that joy, that peace, that fulfillment is if Christ is truly the center of our families. He's the center of our marriages and our families. And if we sit here and say, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus, yes, I trust in his word, he is my authority, if Christ is our authority and if we are living the way God set up the biblical family, we're going to see and we're going to find that fulfillment. This morning, we're going to look at the husband, the biblical husband, and the biblical wife. Now, if you're married, you're here, you're listening online, you're married, this is truth. This is life-changing. The verses are not that long, are they? They're just kind of simple, just two little verses. But this is life-changing stuff. It can change your marriage if you allow Christ to speak to your heart, if you allow yourself and you say, I'm going to trust this truth and I'm going to obey. It is challenging, but it is rewarding and fulfilling. If you're not married, guess what? Let these verses be a vision for someday. I don't know about you. I mean, when I was in high school, I was listening to this stuff because I wanted to be married. I wanted to be married someday, and I thought, well, if the Lord's ways are the right ways, I better be listening. So if you're a teenager, you want to get married, listen, let this be a vision. If you're single, if you have a vision for someday being in a fulfilling marriage, listen to this and let this become a vision for your life. This passage, these two short, simple verses, have to do with the Christian home. It has to do with the Christian husband. It has to do with the Christian wife. But first, what we're going to do, we're going to look at each of those individually. But first, let's look at these two verses together. And here's the simple truth. Christ brings fullness to the marriage. Christ brings fulfillment in the marriage, verses 18 and 19. Here's what we need to understand. That these words that were breathed out by God, these were breathed out by God through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, these verses, for when they were written, were radical, okay? That's what you need to understand. They were radical for the time that they were written. And they are still radical today, if we think about it. It's still a radical teaching. If we go back in time to the culture, that the time period that this was written, in the ancient Jewish culture, here's what we need to understand. The woman was just a thing, okay? Just property, basically. She was a possession of her husband. She did not have legal right. Even in the Jewish culture, a husband could divorce his wife for any reason. She had no rights. And it was even worse in the Greek culture. Worse to be a woman, to be a wife. In fact, as I was looking at some of the historical aspects of this time, the wife lived in seclusion, like her own apartment, like did not have anything to do with her husband. She lived in a woman's apartment. She was demanded chastity. She was not allowed to go out and hang out with her husband. But guess what? The husband could go out and have as many relationships as he desired outside the marriage. So what Christ brought, his teaching, what it brought to this time was radically different from the culture. Christian families would be like, this is so different than what our culture is teaching us. And here's the thing that I see today, though. It's still radical because even in our culture where we're not you know, thankfully, women's rights are much better and those kinds of things. But as far as the institution of marriage, the institution of marriage is just, it's kind of an afterthought anymore, isn't it? It's not that sacred anymore in our culture. Hopefully it is to believers, but as a whole, it's just kind of an afterthought. The number of non-Christian and Christians who live together before, don't even think about getting married, just kind of living together. Divorce is an easy out now. And trust me, I do not say that flippantly, okay? I hear my heart. I know that every single one of us in this room have been affected by divorce. Aren't you thankful as a believer for God's mercy, for his grace, for his forgiveness, for his healing? But let's just step back and be honest. Marriage as a whole, to many, is not a sacred institution in our culture. Do you guys agree with that? Do you see it? Do you see the effects that has on our lives? So even today, If we're going to stand up here and preach God's word and look at the Christian family, this is a radical teaching even today. But I'm going to say this again. You guys like, do you like to feel fulfilled? Do you like to be happy? Who likes to be happy? I mean, if there's one thing we've noticed from 2020, we like to be happy. We are tired of being scared and fearful and have anxiety, those kind of things. We want joy, don't we? Do you like joy? You like to feel joy? Noah's shaking his head. He's ready, man. He'd like some joy. If you want joy and peace and fulfillment in your marriage, then it must be centered on Christ. And if it's not, guess what? Anxiety, anger, depression, strife, all this stuff is just there. If we're going to find true fulfillment in our marriage, then it must be centered on Christ. Both the husband and the wife must fulfill their callings within the marriage. Let me repeat that. If we're going to find fulfillment in our marriages, if our marriage is going to be truly centered on Christ, then both the husband and the wife must fulfill their callings, their roles in the marriage. Okay, so again, we're looking at both of these verses kind of together, the husband and the wife, and let me say these things as well. These two verses address wives and husbands equally in the Lord, okay? Okay? And this was also radical for the time. Both the husband and the wife are under the lordship of Christ as equals. We're equals, but yet we still fulfill different callings within our marriages. It's just the way God designed it. And when we really look at what God is calling the husband and the wife to, it is truly incredible how beautiful the Christian marriage really is and how it works. It really is. And I hope that you catch a glimpse of that this morning. So first, let's look at the biblical wife. Christ brings fulfillment through the wife. Look at verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now this is going to be a shorter section than I have for the husbands, okay? It's just the way it is, all right? So husbands, kind of get ready. You can kind of focus because there's a lot to be said to you. But this is short, to the point. It's very powerful. So I ask you just kind of stick with me. Be ready. But the only way that all this works, okay, this is something we got to remember this morning too. The only way that all this works is if both the husband and the wife are truly fulfilling their callings and their roles within the marriage. That's the only way it works. And so Christ's word to the Christian wife is this: wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, I know that there are many in our culture who hate the word submit. They look at something like that and they're like, that is harsh. That is a negative word. Okay, so look at me, right? I'm just Chris up here, right? Thankfully, I'm off the hook, okay? I can read this, but guess whose word this is? Is it my word? It's God's word. Okay, let's go back. All right, God created what? Everything. Okay, God created man and woman, right? Did God create the institution of marriage? Absolutely. And so God's word here is, wives, submit to your husband. This is not me. This is not some Christian counselor, psychologist, whatever, saying, well, this is what we should do. This is not some power trip of a man's like, well, this is what a wife. No, this is God saying, this is the best way, how it works together. Wives, submit to your husbands. We've got to be really careful, because it is God's word, that we not listen to those who try to explain this word away. Okay? Let me say that again. We've got to be careful as believers to not listen to people that try to explain certain words out of the Bible. try to explain, well, this is not really what God meant. No, let's look at what God meant. And here's the good thing. Wives, submission in the Christian marriage is not an evil word. It's not an evil word. Okay? It is not slavery. It is not being one's servant. It is not being in bondage. No, this statement does not call wives, this is really important. Wives, this statement of submission does not call wives to submit to anyone else's husband. Does that make sense? This does not put us under men. No, this is a beautiful thing that happens in a godly, Christ-centered marriage. It does not call a wife to submit to someone else's husband. And here's another very important thing too, okay? Wives, this call to submission does not call the wife to follow their husband into sin. Okay? We hearing this? It does not call them to follow their husband into sin, into harm, into physical or emotional abuse. This two people working together, fulfilling their calling, and when they're doing it the way God does wants it done, it's beautiful. Acts 5:29 says this, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. This type of biblical submission is respect. It's a mutual respect for each other. It's a trust. It's really a beautiful partnership. It's working together. It's a beautiful thing. It's not an evil word. And it only works. This only works. This biblical submission for the wife only works, and it is only fulfilling if the husband is fulfilling his biblical calling. Okay? So here we go. This call to submission is a call for Christians who are living as Christians. Okay? It's the only way it works. And if you truly desire a fulfilling marriage, then husbands, you have a huge responsibility. Huge. Huge. So let's look at the husband. Christ brings fulfillment through marriage through the husband. Christ brings fulfillment in the biblical marriage through the husband. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. That sounds pretty simple, right? Husbands, love your wives. All right, we're dismissed. Just the phrase, husbands, love your wives. This is what is so huge, okay? That might seem like an easy thing to do. I love you. But what does this really mean? Husbands, are you ready to have a fulfilling marriage? Young men, are you ready to be a godly husband and have an awesome, awesome marriage someday? Then listen to our calling. Husbands, love your wives. So that's what we're going to do this morning, just for the next few minutes. We're going to look at least to a point, what it means to truly love our wife. Husbands, we are called to love our wives. Okay, so here's the thing that we need to remember as husbands. This word that God uses here, this word love, this might be a shocker to some of us, but this word that God uses right here for husbands to love their wives, this has nothing to do with the erotic or sensual side of love, okay? We just need to kind of understand that right now. Let me read kind of the Greek definition of the word used right here, okay? I'm going to put it up here, and I'd like for that to stay there so people can copy it down if they need to long enough. It says this. This word love right here for husbands to love their wives means this, to have a strong, non-sexual affection and love for a person and their good as understood by God's moral character, especially characterized by a willing to a willing forfeiture of rights or privileges in another person's behalf. Anyone writing that down? Husbands, are you writing this down? To have a strong, non-sexual affection and love for a person and their good as understood by God's moral character. I love that. That's what a powerful, powerful statement. Husbands, love your wife. This is the love God has called husbands to for their wives. Women, wives, look at that definition. If this was or is the way your husband or your future husband loved you, would you have any trouble living out your calling in verse 18? No. You would long to fulfill that calling because your husband is fulfilling his calling. It just works. This is how it works together. You see, the husband is called to love his wife, and it's really all about sacrifice. It's all about living out Christ's love to their wives. This is why this is such a huge calling for husbands. We are called to be like Christ to our wives, to live out the love that Christ has for us and for his church to our wives, forfeiting our rights and privileges for our wife. This is why this is radical, right? This is a radical, non-selfish teaching. In fact, this mirrors a much more lengthy passage in Ephesians, and I'm going to read some of that. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 29. You might want to write that reference down, which says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did he do? He gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. That's huge right there. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. For a marriage to be fulfilling and to fulfill this radical command for the husband to love his wife in the way Christ's love, I love the word cherish. I think that's a beautiful word. I use that in premarital counseling. I use that in weddings, but I like the idea of that, to cherish your wife, hold her dear. And that's a huge responsibility. And I know that we fail. I fail. But thankfully, as a believer, we have Christ's forgiveness. We have Christ's grace. But this is our calling. This is our vision for our marriages. Husbands, we are called to love our wives like Christ loves the church. It's hard to let that sink in sometimes, I think, because we're selfish by nature, right? I mean, it's hard to think about that. It's hard to think about that daily, isn't it? So I want to give husbands, and this will affect wives as well, but I want to give you guys just a few practical ways that we could begin to love our wives like this. That we can truly begin to love our wives like this. First is this: seek to understand your wife. Seek to understand your wife. If we are to truly love our wives as our own bodies, that's what God's word just said. Love your wife just like you love your. Then we've got to try to figure her out, right? We got to try to understand our wives. It makes sense that if we try to understand ourselves, and I think we're all still trying to figure that out too, right? We must seek to understand our wives. How can we do this? How can we understand our wife? Well, the second thing would be this: the only way to do this is to spend time with each other. I mean, you can't do it any other way. You have to spend time together. There was a secular study done by Psychology Today back in the 80s, and it was just this study. It was called Marriages Made to Last. They surveyed hundreds of happy couples, okay, they considered them happy couples. And they would interview them, and they interviewed the husbands separately and the wives separately. And here's the two phrases that kept coming to the top of these happy couples. The two phrases were this: my spouse is my best friend, and I like my spouse as a person. You got to spend time with each other. You got to hang out together. Jonna and I, we've been married for 27 years. And here's the thing. Thank you very much. Here's the thing. You know what? Jonna does not go out and play football with me. Tackle football in the backyard with the kids, okay? She does not go play tennis with me. We tried some of these things early on. I bought her every sporting good. I bought her the bike one time. We bought her rollerblades. Was a bad deal. That is a bad moment in our life. That was bad. I'm sorry about that. Wow. Come down this hill with me. Your brakes are on the back, not the. Anyway. She grew up at a roller skating rink. She'd never. Anyway. Okay. I don't sit down and craft with her. I've tried some things. Here's the thing. Yeah, we love to hang out with each other. We're best friends, even though not every single hobby is exactly the same. Some people have this idea, it's like, well, you got to be completely compatible with everything you're doing. No, it's not really true. We just like each other as people. I mean, we just like each other. Which means we love each other, but we like to hang out with each other. I love when I go to the school and she's out on crosswalk, and when she sees me walking up, she just lights up. And she's like, oh, I just love when I get to see you walk across the park. I mean, like, that's just cool. She's my best friend. Spend time together. I mean, think about the people that you were best friends in high school with that you haven't seen. Are they your best friends anymore? No. You don't know anything about them. You did for a moment, a time, a season. It's because you hung out with each other and you liked each other. Spend time with your wife. If you're going to know her, you're going to love her like you love your own body. If you're going to love her like Christ loves the church, then we've got to know each other. A third thing is this: husbands, listen to your wife. This is all going back to this little phrase: husbands, love your wives. Listen to your wife. Husbands, hear this, write this down, pull out your iPhones and record it. Here it is. We need to keep our mouths shut sometimes, don't we? Oh, we just need to keep our mouths shut. I mean, it's understandable. We like to fix things, right? We do. And you're like, well, how can I be the spiritual leader if I'm not saying words all the time? You know, it's okay. This goes back to biblical submission and how this all works together. Listen to your wife. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. We are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church, to love our wives as we love our own bodies. We must get to know our wives. We must listen to her. Fourth thing is this: sacrifice for your wives. Remember that definition of love. Love your wife. It's a call to imitate and love your wife like Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church, right? He sacrificed for the church, for his bride. Christ's love is sacrificial. Now, I know many men, we have no problem thinking about dying for a wife, stepping in front of a bullet for our wife, right? I mean, that seems kind of natural, but what we're talking about too here is a daily dying. Daily sacrifice, forfeiting our privileges for our wives, giving up things for our wives. Which is harder, daily or that one time? And then fifth, and this is final, but I think this is the most important. pray for your wife. Pray for your wife. Pray for her out loud. Pray with your wife. And if we took a survey online here, I think this would be probably where we as men are the weakest. And I have a reason. I know why, okay? I know why this is so hard, because here's the thing. Satan attacks husbands here because this is one of the most intimate, unifying, strengthening things that we can ever do for our wives. And this is why he attacks us here. You would think you would want to pray with your best friend, right? Why is this so hard? Because Satan knows that if we really started doing this, our marriages would be incredible. This brings about that unity. This brings about that intimacy, that spiritual intimacy. He knows if we're praying for our wives daily, if we're finding time to pray for them out loud, he knows he's not going to have a chance to disrupt our marriage. No matter what hard things come our way, right? Praying for your wife, and again, I struggle here too. I struggle here too because I know Satan knows how hard this is and how he doesn't want us to be doing this. It's one of the most important things that we can do in our marriage. Husbands, love your wives. And really that second, and do not be harsh with them. If we're truly loving our wife like he's called us, we're not going to be harsh with them. We won't have any desire to be harsh. To be the spiritual leader of the home is not to lord over our wives. It's to live sacrificially for them. To love them in a way that sanctifies them, strengthens them. And then there's this incredibly beautiful mutual respect and this beautiful submission that just takes place. And it's really two calls to marriage right here. One call to wives for biblical submission. The other call to husbands to love your wives. And here's the thing, these two calls cannot be read in isolation of each other. They go hand in hand. These two calls are together. And it makes sense. It would be ridiculous for a husband to desire that his wife submit to him if he is not radically loving her like Christ loves the church. Does that make sense, right? And it would be the same for the wife to demand Christ's love, just like Christ to love her husband, to love her like Christ loved, if she's not willing to submit biblically to him. If your husband is loving you the way Christ loves, guess what? His leadership is going to be godly. There will be this mutual respect, a partnership. And your marriage, what's going to be so cool is your marriage is going to be a testimony to the world, to the lost world. It's going to be a testimony of the church, the way Christ loves the church. And so my question to us this morning, as we've just read what seem to be simple verses, is my question to us is this: do you desire, if you're married, do you desire this fullness in your marriage, this fulfillment? Do you desire to fulfill the God-given callings that he's placed on your life? If you truly want peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment in your marriage, then here's what we've got to do. We've got to do it God's way. We've got to do it God's way. Teenagers, children, boys, girls, young men, young women, if you desire to have a fulfilling marriage someday, then read these verses and set out to live by them. Pray for your spouse now. And talk about these things before you get married. And if you're with someone that is not showing a model of this, say, see you later. Walk away. The way you date now, teenagers, it's important. God created the institution of marriage. He created the universe. He came to give us abundant life. And I believe he knows what he's talking about. Amen. Will you trust him? Will you obey him? Will you have a God-ordained vision for your marriage and for your family, for your future marriage and your family? Will you decide in 2021, it's like, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it's going to start right here in our marriage. It's going to start this week. Husbands, it's going to start this week. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Get to know her. Spend time with her. Pray for her. Sacrifice for her. I promise you, you will see a difference. I promise you that. I can promise you that because it's right here. It's a promise from Scripture. You know, try some stuff this year. Try something this year as a family. I'm talking to you guys online too. Try some things like, you know what? I'm going to spend time with my wife this year. I'm going to love her like Christ loved the church. I'm going to biblically submit to my husband this year. I'm going to take seriously my family serving the Lord. I'm going to get into church. I'm going to plug in to Bible studies. I'm going to start giving sacrificially to the church. I'm going to do these things because here's the deal. I promise you, you will receive blessing from that. See what happens. Try it. I dare you. I mean, come on. As for commit to, and I'm going to serve the Lord this year. Just try it. I dare you to try it. Commit to it and see what happens. Let's have a end of the year service next year and just let everyone line up and start giving testimony because of what they did and they committed to something. If you haven't been in church in a while, reconnect this year. Whether that's by text or phone or whatever, stay plugged into the body of Christ. Commit your marriage to say, we're going to do everything we can to serve the Lord. We're going to do it God's way. Let that filter every decision that you make with your family. Because as things get back to normal, we're going to be right back to where we were, crazy busy, doing everything we can the world's way, and we're going to forget about this. I mean, what this has done for us, 2020 has brought some things to the surface. Are we going to go back exactly to what we did, or are we going to live for the Lord as believers, as a church body, to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? Just think what God could do through this church if we were a bunch of ordinary people completely dedicated to him. Think about what he could do. If you feel the Lord calling you this morning, trust him. Salvation is through Christ alone, and he loves you. He loves you. Let's pray together. God, we do love you. We thank you so much for the cross. We thank you so much for salvation. We thank you so much that we have this, your word. It's your word, and you have allowed us to have it and to see it and read it, to know it. God, help us to obey it. Help us to commit this year to our families, to our marriages, to our children, to our church. Help us to desire to understand what it truly means to be a godly husband, a godly wife, godly children. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for a place to gather as the body of Christ. Help us to see where you're working, to join you there, knowing that if we're committed to you, that you're going to use us. Help us to be a light to this community. Help our marriages to be a testimony and light to this community. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for how powerful it is, how convicting it is, but how encouraging it is. And help us to see your vision for our families. for our marriages. God, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.